today on Real Radio.
If we're Christians and our God is a personal God and he's made all that there is, how much are we letting him govern our lives? Are we really letting him be the Lord of our life? If that's true, it's going to be evident in this thing that we call our jobs or our workplace.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a new series called Life and Bible, starts off with a message called Being a Christian at Your Job. You know, as Christ followers, we say we believe in God's Word and that its pages hold the answers to wisdom and understanding. But at some point, we need to move from simple understanding to a deeper knowledge of His will and put what we've learned into action. But how do we apply God's Word to the everyday challenges of life? In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14, Paul challenges the church to increase in the knowledge of God and to be fruitful in every good work. When applied to real-life circumstances, this means our relationships, both personal and at work, need to thrive. Christians are to excel publicly, practically, and personally. In the workforce, quite frankly, we're supposed to be the best employee, manager, or owner that company could possibly have. So today on day one of this message, Pastor Jack tells us that it's important that the Christian has a strong biblical work ethic. Our modern culture has lost this. The value of life, individual rights, equality, the love for our fellow man, and the knowledge of God really has diminished in our secular world. But with the Word as our pulpit, Christians are to embrace a godly example. And now, in his message called Being a Christian at Your Job, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Bless now the going forth of your Word to our hearts. And Lord, we invite you to examine our lives as Christians, to form, mold, shape us into the people of God that we need to be in these last days. Lord, let us not be swayed or polluted by political correctness or some threat, Lord, that would come to us in some apathetic way or some apologetic way that we should tiptoe around as Christians and not let our voice be heard. Lord, like never before, we need to stand up and know what we believe and proclaim what we believe. Lord, there are a lot of voices out there and a lot of lunacy, a lot of crazy things. Like never before, we need to stand up boldly, filled with your Holy Spirit, to declare the truth. So, Father, we ask that you'd bless these series of Wednesday nights together. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, listen, grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1. Go to Matthew and turn right, and you'll come eventually to Colossians and turn to the first chapter. And we are looking at a series entitled Being a Christian, or really, technically, it's going to be called Life and Bible Series. The Life and Bible Series tonight, we're looking at being a Christian at your job. And we're going to have a lot of fun these next few weeks. But tonight, we're going to start out with being a Christian at your job and what that means. And it's going to be part of the Life and the Bible Series, being a Christian at your job tonight. And we're going to be looking at, in these series, some things that I hope will really challenge you and I regarding our Christian walk and how we ought to be living. Colossians chapter 1. This will be our theme verse for the entire series. It's an awesome passage. Paul writing to the church at Colossae. And there, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." What an awesome prayer. "In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and longsuffering with joy." Verse 12, "giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Is Paul not an amazing communicator? I mean, what that guy just said just then in a prayer is extremely heavy and exactly what we need. All these things that he prays right there for the church at Colossae, I'm praying, been praying for you and I. This has been my prayer for you. Way back when we were a home fellowship, a home Bible study out of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, we had t-shirts made up with that scripture verse on the back of them. And I pray that today, I pray that tonight, that that prayer would be something that governs our lives, not only in this series, but really forevermore. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at a challenging thing about real Christianity and what it means. And I hope we have some fun together. But tonight, we're going to be looking, as I mentioned, life in the Bible, being a Christian at your job. I'm going to ask you to take a lot of notes. We've got a lot of verses. I'm going to ask you to write these things down. And I hope that it activates you. First of all, as a Christian, we serve a very personal God. I love that. He is not a God that is somehow removed and somehow distant. He's not the God of, for example, the agnostic. You know, the agnostic is an interesting person. An agnostic is not an atheist. An atheist wishes and dreams and tries to convince themselves that there is no God. And they're very worried, by the way. I've never seen an atheist that's filled with peace. Because no matter how good their day goes, they're still concerned by the end of the day that what if God's real? What if God is true? Atheists are funny, and they're atheists for as long as it's convenient, but when really, really things go bad, atheists seem to get religion real quick. But then there's the agnostic, and the agnostic, that's an interesting word, agnostic, because it comes from the word ignoramus. Did you know that? Ignoramus. I'm not making that up. Look it up. It's true. It means this, that there is probably a God, but he cannot be known. Thus, you are ignorant or an ignoramus, or you're an agnostic. An agnostic would say, yeah, I think there's a God out there, but I've concluded he can't be known. Well, what kind of a God would that be if he's out there somewhere and he can't be known? Not much of a God. I was watching an awesome DVD this week about the NASA moon program. And one of the guys, one of the astronauts of the NASA program, the Apollo program, left Earth as a non-believer. And he got up into space and the space capsule turned around, the Apollo capsule turned around and he saw the Earth and he said, there's no way that's an accident. And when he got back to Earth, he started going to Bible studies, and on the DVD, and it's not a Christian DVD, he says, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. When he got all the way out in space, turned around and went, wow! He left a non-believer and then saw evidence and became a believer. We tonight proclaim that we're Christians. Our God is a personal God. If we're Christians and our God is a personal God and he's made all that there is, how much are we letting him govern our lives? Are we really letting him be the Lord of our life? If it's true, it's going to be evident in this thing that we call our jobs or our workplace. Number one, jot it down tonight. Being a Christian at your job means a few things. Number one, at work and your faith. How do I go to work and be a Christian? How do I go to my workplace and be a believer? How do I go to my workplace and exercise my faith? Understand this, that first of all, work, our jobs, is a necessity. Did you know that? You say, man, I've been trying to get out of my job. No, your job is a necessity given to you by God. By the way, listen, it's a proven fact that work, just the aspect of work itself. Now, we're not getting in yet to where you work and what you do, but just the aspect of work, just the concept of work is good for our sanity. Did you know that? It's good for you. You don't sound very convinced about that right now. It's actually good for you. It's good for you to be busy, as it were, as Christians, about our Father's business. What you and I don't often realize is that our Father's business is often sending you and I to work, to the job place. Man was created to be a doer. We love to do things. A woman might make a project, or she might, and this is amazing to me. Yeah, you know what? She might knit something and produce something in a few hours. That's one thing. A man might go to a job or have his career. That's one thing. To me personally, because I've watched it happen, the most amazing job that I've ever seen done is when a woman gives birth to a baby and raises that baby up and then grows them up and then turns them loose into the society and they become viable, strong citizens in the world. That's amazing to me because I don't know about you, but I want to have a report card as to how I'm doing. Mothers are amazing people because they don't get a report card for years. Think about it. And even then, some, you know, you don't know what kind of grade the kids getting, you know, but it's an amazing thing. But God made mankind as doers. We have a great sense of satisfaction when we can see what's gone on with our own hands. By the way, God himself is a doer, isn't he? And so as we think about jobs and think about what God does, listen, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis 2, 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." Verse 15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." Listen, there is a great holy thing for you and I to be employed at our work, at our jobs, and be doing things. Tonight, maybe you're retired. That doesn't mean you just sit around and watch Oprah. God help you. Just because you're retired means now you have more time for God. Now you have more time to serve. Now you have more time to be a doer. Work is a necessity. Going to our job is a good thing. It's not a curse. God's blessed us. And it's a great, listen, it is the great, great proving ground for ministry in our lives. So many people get this thing in their minds that they're not going to work. They're going to go in the ministry. I just got out of high school, or maybe I just got out of college, and I think I'm not going to get a job. I'm going to go in the ministry. Wait a minute. I think personally that you should be much at your job before ever you go into the ministry. Some people look at ministry as some of a way of an out to stay away from having to work. Little do they know. Amazing. No. God made us doers. In fact, Paul the Apostle himself seemed to have a tent-making business on the side, which brought his income in, allowing him to preach the gospel. Keep that in mind. It's very important that we understand that our workplace is a place where we are to exercise our faith. The Christian has been sent out into this world, and I want to ask you, it's not that you occupy some pulpit somewhere or you go to some mission field and only then do you think that you're fulfilling Matthew 28, where Jesus said, "Go out into all the world and preach the gospel." There is more gospel preaching taking place in the workforce and in the company or out on the construction sites than maybe any other place in the world. "Oh, but Pastor, I want to go into all the world and preach the gospel." That's right, go do it. And that means working for IBM or working for this place or that place. And I want to encourage you that we as Christians are to be a people engaged in our work. And tomorrow, when we go to our jobs, we are to take Christ there. And this is what that looks like. Mark it down. It looks like this. We are to be, as Christians, if we're going to live out our faith in the workplace, you guys, we need to establish a biblical work ethic. This is important. Our modern culture has lost its work ethic. And I don't know personally, I kind of sound pessimistic. I don't know if the good old U.S. of A., the old time, where the sticker or the stamp "Made in the USA" meant something. When I was a little kid, it meant something for a product to be made in America. Not anymore. I hope that turns around. Frankly, I don't think it will, unless this culture embraces a biblical work ethic. And it's interesting to me that the Bible sets the highest standard for performance in any culture regarding man's instruction, education, and advancement. It's the Bible. What a biblical work ethic is, honestly, it's what created the most productive, illuminated, passionate cultures in the world. Wherever the gospel, the Judeo-Christian Bible, goes in the world, it creates an awesome ethic. The Bible's very clear about that. Value of life, individual rights, the love for fellow man, equality, the knowledge of the Lord. The Judeo-Christian influence is the most advancing faith that the world has ever seen. And I challenge you, those of you who know history, go look at the nations of the world and put up a scale, as it were, and match where Judeo-Christian biblical ethics went into a culture. What happened to that culture versus any other religion that's out there today? Look and see what happens. It's very important. So as a believer, I need, you and I need to go to our workplace tomorrow with this in mind, that I am going to go to my job with a biblical work ethic. What does that look like? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. By the way, I'm curious, are there any business, either managers or business owners in here tonight? Raise your hands. You're going to maybe want to get this teaching and give it to your workers and say, this is what we ought to be doing. And here's the verse. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. In other words, be conscious of the fact that whatever you do, that there's people watching. And whatever you do, you're doing it for God and not for man. How many of you are employed right now in some way, shape, or form? Raise your hands. Tomorrow, when you go to your job or whenever you go back to your job, you are to do it to the glory of God, and that is between you and your God. You're not doing it for her, or you're not doing it for him. You're not doing it necessarily for the bottom line of the company. Do all those things benefit? Yes, but as a Christian, I march to a greater standard. It's not even a promotion. I don't do these things. Listen, the world where I worked for so long, and you are probably working now, the world, have you noticed in a secular company, how, at least in a corporation I worked for, very high-end corporation, global group, everybody's very kind to each other. I worked there 13 years, very kind to each other. Everybody was very kind to each other. And by the way, the company I worked for, if you cussed, you were written up. It was not even a Christian company. You had to sign what's called a fiduciary agreement that even on your off hours, you would stand for what is best for the company, and that, listen, that you would present your body and your mind on Monday morning ready to go to work. The corporation I worked for, you signed that. Very interesting. The world seems to get along better in their gathering, and they seem to be cordial, and they seem to make things work, but what's the goal? The goal is this, isn't it? The goal is the promotion. The goal is ever upward and onward, right? For the Christian, it's sad, but Christians seem to sometimes go to work like, oh, ho-hum, whatever. Maybe the rapture happened tonight, and then I won't have to worry about going to work. We can't be like that. We are to be Christians, and the Christian is to have the greatest work ethic you've ever seen if we're going to be real Christians, because we're doing it for the Lord. Also this, secondly, it's this. At work, and your faith means that we are to be translating a godly example to everybody we come in contact with. Every Monday morning, listen to this, the Lord gives you and I a pulpit to live out what we learned on Sunday. Think about it. Why do you come on Sunday? You're to come on Sunday to get your batteries charged up, to go out Monday into the world to make a difference. The world is your pulpit. Your job is your pulpit. Oh man, you know what? I can't stand my job. I hate it. Listen, probably everybody who works with you knows you hate your job too, but you're saying, no, I just want to be in the ministry someday. Ain't gonna happen. It's not gonna happen. God will not promote that. You need to work yours. If you want to be in the ministry, or if you want to have the next position up on the ladder at your company or wherever you're at, you need to work yourself out of the position you're in right now. And you know how you do that? The principle is the same. That's why there's a lot of Christian authors whose books have become bestsellers in the secular world regarding business management and motivation. You want to know why? It's biblical principles that make the greatest employees, managers, and leaders in the world. God's word is true. Be a godly example, and by being that, it translates to other people. Very important. Genesis 39:21. The Bible says, for the Lord was with Joseph. That's an amazing thing. Are you a Christian tonight?
Yep.
Do you have a job?
Yep.
Are you unemployed and you're looking for a job?
Yep.
God is with you. You can't say that you're a Christian and God is not with you. We need to act in faith. I am a Christian. I'm going to my workplace tomorrow. And as the Lord was with Joseph, so the Lord will be with me. And you need to believe that. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and with men. God is not a respecter of persons, my friends. And when we go to work tomorrow, the Lord's favor will be upon us, and we need to be walking in that promise of his. Christianity tells us that the Christian is highly favored by God. Jesus said it in John 17:23. He said, listen, I in them and you, that's the Father, in me, that they may be made complete or perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them, that's us, as you have loved me, Father. What an awesome thing. We are highly favored. So tomorrow when we go to work, we don't need to drag our face down in the dirt. We need to go into that place and we need to be ones who are translating our faith to those that are around us. We cannot be here at church tonight and not be active Christians tomorrow. I pray that your Christianity is 24/7. It's got to be, or else it's not real. Thirdly, under this point, at work in your faith, listen, maintaining the faithful attitude. I hope to have some fun with this one before we move on. I need to be careful, though. But I personally, I can tell you that I have seen no greater power in the workplace than a good attitude. I made mention on Sunday about the company I worked for, and it was appropriate for what we were talking about on Sunday. But the Lord saw fit because, number one, when I went to work for that company, I personally knew I was not supposed to be at that company. I mean, I knew I shouldn't be there. God had another plan, and he blessed that. I was so happy to be there and so happy to be employed that I looked like a kid in a toy store every day. I remember that first day pulling up in the parking lot, walking into this building, knowing that, Lord, this is ridiculous that I'm even going to be working here. That I remember standing by the gate of the company, and I said, Lord, grant me the favor. At that time, Pastor Chuck Smith was taking us through the book of Daniel. And I remember saying, Lord, give me favor like Daniel had in Nebuchadnezzar's court. Give me favor. I need favor. And I got to tell you, if you're bold enough to pray the prayer, God is amazing enough to answer the prayer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Being a Christian at Your Job. We're so glad you joined us today, and our hope is that you are a light even in the most troubling of circumstances. Being a Christian at Your Job, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called Life and Bible, a collection of messages on the practical application of God's Word in the everyday challenges of real life. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, if you're out in the workplace and you struggle with being a witness, well, we're here to help. The best way to stay true to your faith on the job is to start your day with the Lord. That's why Pastor Jack has devotions at his website. There's a new devotion each week that Pastor Jack writes personally and always has a Bible verse that's sure to bless and strengthen you for the day. There are also previous devotions that you can click on for daily help. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or you can access them on the Real Life mobile app. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.